flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. We're here to talk about drafts, prospects, and the future. Don't forget to like us, download us, all those different things, wherever you get your podcast. Now, Evan, the Lions are very, very disappointing. Now, you and I have shared a lot of experiences with the Lions. People don't realize this, but, you know, covering the games down through the years, you used to be the reporter guy holding the mic, plugging in that malt box, doing that type of thing. And so you and I would always get down there early to make sure we were there in time for the interviews and everything. This is different, you know, than that. This was a team that was 15-2 that played against a team that wasn't as good player by player down the roster, and they just let it get away. Now, I looked at it like this way. If you start stacking it up with what happened in the second half of last year's NFC Championship game in this, you start to wonder how many more opportunities are they going to have, because it's really hard to get back to being the number one seed. It's really hard to be up by 17 points in the NFC Championship game. They've got to ratchet it up and do it again with less of a coaching staff. Now, to me, the window is still very much open, but you know, it's hard to look at it that way when there's such disappointment. If they lost to the Eagles, I would have felt different, you know, because Eagles' roster stacks up with them. But losing to the Commanders, there was no reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, when one thing piled on, another thing jumped on top. And, I mean, I think the disappointment lies with them just being such a heavy favorite and everybody believing in them, not locally, but nationally, everybody was picking the Lions to win that game. You're right. It is different, but has the same feeling, which is unfortunate because, you know, last week we talked about them possibly creating a dynasty, and then you see one window close, but it doesn't mean that others won't open. And what I mean by that is, yeah, they lost, and they are going to have to rebuild, just not with personnel. They have to rebuild with their coaching staff, which is something that we have seen Dan Campbell actually be capable of. When he first got here, he had Anthony Lynn as his OC. That wasn't working. He removed him. He started calling plays. Aubrey Pleasant was not working out as a defensive backs coach. He moved on from him, and the defense got better. So in those regards, I have a lot of faith, but it's still hard to process. And for me, a pessimist with the Lions, it's hard for me to not just pile this on with, you know, 58 other years of history. So
it's longer than that, buddy.
Well, I'm just saying in the Super Bowl history,
right,
that
right.
Like, I saw it and I'm like, okay, well, this is something new in regards to how they lost in the position that they were at. And I think it humbled them. And in for the long run, I think that's good because, for lack of a better term, I think they're kind of getting high on their own supply, listening to everybody tell them how great they were. And it was always going to be what happened when they got punched in the face. How would they respond?
Yeah, well, moving forward, which is what our podcast is about, it's about the future.
Yeah.
I still think they're a prohibitive favorite to win their division next year. You know, of course, you got free agency, you've got the draft, you got all that, but I don't see where Green Bay's better than them. I don't see where Minnesota's better than them. Minnesota's got to issue a quarterback, too. Ben Johnson will probably do a pretty good job with the Bears, but I don't just see him going in there and doing well. I could see the Lions. I don't know if they'll win 15 games, but I could see them winning the division. It's going to be hard, I think, to be a number one seed just because it's really hard to be the number one seed and have that big advantage for the playoffs. But I see them doing well. The question is, all right, there's a couple things. What do they need to shore up? It looks to me like they have a very solid defense or offense, but they still need help on defense. They need, I feel, I would not sign Za'Darius Smith. They've got an option on him at $5.4 million, but there's no dead cap space if they move on from him. I would move on from Marcus Davenport. It's almost $3 million dead cap hit, but that's all. He's not going to play for you. If he played five games, you know there might not be a sixth that he plays.
you're right about that.
You know.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, they're Davis and Zettler are free agents, so they're moving on, both of them probably. And they did get a lot of football out of those two guys, but they weren't there for the championship game, or for the playoff game, and would not have been there for the championship games probably. So they're going to have to replace that. I would probably move on from Graham Glasgow. That wasn't good, all right? I mean, it was kind of obvious, even not knowing all the nuances of line play. So I think they're in the market for, if anything, on offense, a guard. You know, they can always use other weapons and everything, but they definitely need to try to get better at edge opposite Hutchinson, which everybody's obsessed about, to the point of absurdity. I don't know what to do about corners. It doesn't matter how many they draft. It doesn't matter how many they sign. You're always going to see Vildor out there. That's how I look at it. I mean, when you see Vildor out there, it's like, okay, you know they've run out of guys. And they had some guy there that, I didn't even know he was on the friggin' practice squad. You know, and I study their roster as much as anything. All of a sudden, he's playing in the playoffs. I don't know what it is about corner and the Lions, but it's their cursed position. You know, it's more like the curse of Night Train Lane or Lem Barney than Bobby Lane at this point.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane because, I mean, the Lions double up at corner in this past draft, but yet, effectively, Enos Rakestraw is going to play his rookie year next year because he barely played for the Lions this year. So you're going to be breaking in another young guy. And I think you're right, Pat, that you need to go and get a veteran there. And, I mean, Robertson played really great, but dude, when you snap your humerus, which it looked like, you're the upper bone on your arm. I mean, that's going to take a while to recover and come back. And I think you're right. With corner, that they need depth, they need depth, they need depth, they need depth, because you're right. You can't always end up blaming everything on Vildor when in reality, the guy probably is only there as a warm body to put out there and like break glass in case of emergency. But you need better interior linemen, in my opinion, too, because that does help the pass rush. And DJ Reader, it looked like he kind of ran out of smoke there at the end of the year. It's a guy that's coming off of quad injuries. Like, I don't know how much you can expect from him going forward. But that's where I would, like, just zone in is the interior defensive line and probably...
Well, what's Broderick Martin?
I don't know, and that's the problem, right?
You know, it's time for a Broderick Martin signing, you know? I do think that if they have... this is going to sound weird, but they need to, you know, and then maybe it's an overreaction on one game, but they got to get better at quarterback. You know, I mean, Hendon Hooker, I don't know, would you trust Hendon Hooker out there in a game if something happened?
I mean,
based on what we know, you know, they're bringing in Teddy Bridgewater. What was he teaching, shop class or something?
Telling was that, Pat? The fact that they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, that, like, even to start the game, Hooker was going to be your emergency quarterback. And when you see Goff go down and you're like, it's Bridgewater. Pat, when I tell you, okay, I was there with my father-in-law and my wife, and they have pretty good seats, but these fans flipped out like I have never seen in my life that Teddy Bridgewater was going into this game, and they gave up on the team. They were ready to sell their season tickets. How could we be in this position? Yada, yada. And I'm like, the coaching staff obviously looks at Hendon Hooker and is like, we cannot put this guy into a meaningful game. The fact that you said that Teddy Bridgewater was literally a high school coach, has been with the team for what, 2 weeks now, 3 weeks max, that he's going out there. Not only is he taking meaningful reps, but they have him throwing the ball. They have him running trick plays. Like, they had the utmost respect in him. Now, I don't expect that to go forward, that Teddy Bridgewater comes back again. He has a state title to defend, for God's sakes.
No, for sure. For sure. The other thing, too, is do you need an alternative for Goff? Because the Jared Goff thing came up here. All right, it wasn't good. That was a bad performance by Goff. Now, is that an overreaction by me? Like, hey, you know, it's Goff or bust. Is that what it's going to be for the Lions? And moving forward, is that going to get them a Super Bowl?
If I'm looking at it from positive eyes, I say, yeah, he could get there. And I don't blame everything on Jared Goff with that game. The way that I look at it, the fumble, his offensive line, didn't do him any favors. St. Brown, I mean, he stumbled. Well, things just went wrong.
It was a bad call, too. Empty backfield.
Absolutely. You put him in a bad position with only one option. That's not good. The pass to end the first half to Jameson Williams, I was watching quite a bit of TV on Monday morning, and Randy Moss was saying, J-Mo screwed that up by not coming to the football, which you're supposed to do as a wide receiver. Not saying that he would have caught that ball, but at least – Sanders still wouldn't have just had a wide open reception there. You know what I mean? So,
wait, can I stop for you for a second on that?
Absolutely.
Just for a second. That's a pass that you do not underthrow. You either throw it where your guy can get it and nobody else can get it. You cannot underthrow that ball. J-Mo had a step or two on him. He didn't throw it far enough. So, yeah, J-Mo could have come back and maybe, did the contested catch thing and all that, but that wasn't a good throw. And that interception for the pick six, I mean...
That was awful.
And you know, there's guys, you can see when they showed the camera from behind, the guy's open. And so, and then the other part of it is, dude, did I just call Jared Goff, dude? But I'll say it. Hey, man, if there's an interception and you got a bunch of mean guys... with white shirts and red helmets, they're just looking for it. Don't just stand there. Don't stand there. I mean, you cannot get hurt in that game. Now, he was able to come back and all that, but he would have put his team in a terrible situation. Either get the hell out of there or get down. Just get down. Get down.
All right.
Do not stand there. Like, literally, it looked like a deer in a car coming at him. And it was just, I don't know. I do have some questions on that. I like Goff. Everybody loves Goff, and they should. But that was disturbing, and it makes you wonder, all right, when you see it.
I have a question for you going forward, because you've been around a lot of coaching changes and so on. Now, I do understand that Dan Campbell, he is the main cog that makes everything go with the Detroit Lions. But it did appear that Dan Campbell was a hands-off type of head coach, to where he trusted his offensive coordinator to take care of business. He trusted his defensive coordinator to do the same thing. Now, with bringing in new coordinators, whether or not they're somebody that is currently on the Detroit Lions staff or from outside, do you expect there to be any kind of learning curve at all? And why I ask that question is the Detroit Lions, since Dan Campbell has been here, notoriously has not played players in preseason. And when you're trying to install these new things and then you're just going to put the guys right into game action, do you expect them to start a little slower than they normally would have in the past?
They started out slow this year.
Yeah, actually, 1-1.
Well, and their offense struggled early on. And then it really got rolling. Not that that really matters to your core, but that's a great question. It's about the offseason, too. It's about when they're going through their OTAs, their mini camp workouts. There's 17, you know, basic practices that involve both those things with the full roster. So that's a great question. And it's very important that everybody shows up for those. There's no expectation they wouldn't. But it's very important they show up for those with whatever they're doing. If it's somebody that's in-house for the offensive coordinator, it won't be that any much different. It's Dan Campbell's offense. It's basically what he put together. Ben Johnson was part of that. So they'll be all right. The question's going to be on game day. But I think with defense, it's going to be more important. I have a feeling they're going to get somebody outside the organization for defense. And I think Dan Campbell, because of the position that he played and where what he's coached before on the offensive side of the ball, I think and Aaron Glenn was his right-hand man. That's his closest friend in everything. That's going to be very important offseason. And how much are they going to play in the preseason games? See, the preseason games don't present anything anymore.
No.
To how good somebody is. A little bit more with the, two team scrimmages and on that, but where they can simulate what they want to do and they actually go at each other. But it's going to be very difficult to discern what they have and don't have. And somebody like Rakestraw, you take somebody at that point in the draft, you expect him to be a starter.
Yeah.
You know, can he develop enough this offseason to do that? What are they doing with Broderick Martin? You know, is he just taking up a spot on the roster? Because they need a big dude in the middle. Reader's done. All right. Za'Darius Smith, done. That's the way it works in football. You know, you hit that wall, and then I'm not saying they can never play in the league again, but they're not like what they've been, period. All right. So you got to move on from that. And you have to have some development there. They're going to have to make some decisions. Is Milifonwu somebody that you keep long-term? Or do you try to find a replacement for him? There's some free agents, Byron Murphy and some others, that they could sign. But they're going to have to clear up as much cap space as they can, because some of the contracts are going to start to be due. Hutch, some others that they're going to have to. Laporta, they're going to have to start thinking about.
Joseph
right away. So,
well, same with Jameson Williams. Do you give him that fifth year option, or do you extend him? You know, they have a lot of questions financially going forward.
Right.
And obviously, you can move money, but that Goff contract hit, Sewell contract hit, St. Brown's going to hit, all of those.
Yeah, that's where Goff is definitely a key for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he's a good quarterback, I know he's a great guy, all those things. But you're going to have to make sure your offensive line, if he's going to be your quarterback the next couple years, is stellar. Because when he gets pressure, the difference between him and when he gets that little extra time is far more than other quarterbacks. He does not react well in the pocket. He really struggles. He looks awkward, actually. Mm-hmm. It comes up very quickly and out of the blue. A little extra pressure, and all of a sudden, it's a completely different quarterback. So they're going to have to make sure they got that offensive line going. I assume their running game and running backs are going to be good.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs is ready to be, a genuine star.
Yeah, so superstar in the NFL. He's going to be going into this season one of the most talked about running backs, not named Saquon Barkley, in the NFL.
Correct. And also with Jameson Williams, I never had any that much problem with his off the field stuff. I really didn't. I thought the NFL was terrible to him about the gambling, and I don't care if he's at a Coney Island at 2 o'clock in the morning in Detroit. I've been there myself. A few times, actually, back in the day. So I understand that. And the other things are just kind of showboating things that actually their culture helps keep him in check. I didn't think he was that good a player. He is that good a player. All right? He's a really good player, excellent player. So they got a lot of talent. It's just how are they going to maneuver everything and what the coaches are going to do. But it's a very important offseason for them, and not just by how they tweak their roster, but also by how they are able to regroup from this. But it's not easy to get back to those points. It really isn't. They blew a golden opportunity there. Like I said, if they had lost to the Eagles, I wouldn't have had that much issue with it. Because you look at the Eagles and their roster stacks up to the Lions.
And they're only relatively healthy, too.
Yeah, they're a good team, the Eagles. Really good team. And very healthy, actually. But the fact that they lost to the Commanders, there's no excuse for that. None. Zero. And now the Eagles are in the catbird seat. So that's the way it works. So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. Always appreciated Evan. You can check out Evan on X. At Gentman Jenkins. It's Pat Caputo 98 for me, and that's the best way a lot of times to get our podcast. Probably you might have got it that way, looking at that. I also insert them in the columns that I write for Odyssey.com. Don't forget to check those out and like us. Go to the Apple iTunes page, whatever, wherever you get this podcast, Google Play Store, it could be everywhere, Odyssey.com. Give us a like. Give us a nice comment, whatever, man. We appreciate you all very much. Till next time, we'll talk to you.